This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 1. Obadiah, Minor Prophets, Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 1. There's only one chapter. Just before we begin, I want to remember with love our friend James Crumley, who just passed on. A few years ago, James Crumley came in here and told me he was not saved. So I met him in the prayer of salvation. He confessed his sins. He repented of his sins. And he accepted Jesus as Lord. And I baptized him and gave him a beautiful Bible. But I told him the Bible is not just for you to come here and listen. You're supposed to share it. So he was a senior in high school. He got permission to read the scripture from the Bible in the morning over the loudspeaker at his school. So we remember him. He died too young. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you will be gracious and merciful to James Crumley. And we ask that you will, Father, be that Father for whom he sought all of his life. God bless him. And we remember James Crumley with love.
Amen.
And now the book of Obadiah in the Minor Prophets. Now, let me explain to you about the Minor Prophets and the Major Prophets. The Minor Prophets are just as useful to God and just as spiritual. It's just the Major Prophets' books are longer. Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah, they're just longer than Daniel. The Minor Prophets, it's just their books are shorter, that's all. Obadiah's name means servant of Yahweh. And that should tell you a lot about him. I'm surprised someone hasn't named their ministry the Obadiah Ministries, the servants of Yahweh. To the best we can find out, scholars say that this was written, dictated from God to Obadiah in 482 B.C. or 472 B.C., more likely the latter one. And I am entitling this because it is the theme, Russia, Russia, Russia. Now, if you've been keeping up with the news, you've been hearing Sean Hannity say, Russia, Russia, Russia. And that's what's been in the news, right? Well, Obadiah is a kin prophet of the end to Joel. I recently taught Joel in here to tell us what's going on at the end time. So what we're going to hear tonight is Russia's part in the end time. We're going to hear about the Battle of Hamagog, and we're going to find that all of this saber-tooth rattling about Russia, while it's not true about President Trump, it is Russia trying to picket us because Russia is coming against the United States of America. It's called the Battle of Hamagog. So bear with me and I will tell you the story. Let's begin. Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. All right, Edom. The vision of the Lord. God comes to the prophet and he says, I'm going to show you something. I want you to write it in a book, much like John wrote Revelation. And he says, I have something I want you to write in a book that's going to happen to Edom. So all of you say, well, who in the world is Edom? What does Russia have anything to do with that? Because in the manuscripts, Edom is Rush, Rush by the Volga, Russia. So see, Edom is Russia. At that time, it wasn't called Russia. Everybody got it?
Yes.
So that's proof. Now, Genesis 36 says Esau is Edom. Now, you say Esau is Edom. So Esau is Russia. Well, who is Esau? Esau is Jacob's twin brother. For homework, make a note, Genesis 25 and Genesis 26. God had told Abraham that in Abraham's son Isaac would all nations of the earth be blessed, meaning Messiah Jesus will come through that lineage. So Isaac got himself a wife, beautiful Rebekah, and she was pregnant with twins, and they were Esau and they were Jacob in her womb. Now, they began fighting like cats and dogs. So in Genesis 25, Rebekah goes to God and says, if the prince of pieces coming through our lineage. Why are my two little guys in there fighting like cats and dogs? God told Rebecca, because there are two great nations, superpower of superpowers, in your womb. Now, I don't know, many of you might not know this, but until recently, Russia was the second superpower, and of course America is the superpower. So two great nations in your womb. Well, they finally got out of the womb. Esau kind of kicked Jacob out of the way, but Jacob was holding on for dear life by the heel. He's called the heel grabber. Esau came out first. See, the firstborn gets the greater blessing. He gets the first fruit blessing. And Esau wanted that first blessing. So he came out first. You got to keep this, Esau. And so Jacob didn't get the blessing. Now, they grew up a little bit, and Esau went hunting, and he came back from hunting, and he was about to pass out. His blood sugar got too low. And his brother Jacob was making a delicious stew. And Jacob wanted to be the firstborn. He wanted the big blessing from Isaac, which would mean you just were blessed forever and ever, your posterity, your land would be blessed. So Jacob said, if you will sell me your birthright, let me get the first blessing from Dad. I will give you this bowl of stew. So Esau said, I don't care anything about my heritage. I need some food. Give me the food. So Jacob went into Isaac, and Isaac said, you will be the fat of the land. In other words, you're going to be a rich nation. You're going to be the superpower of superpowers. Esau felt remorse and went in and said, can't you bless me? And Isaac said, no, you're going to live away from the fat of the land. Siberia is too cold to grow anything. You will always come with your begging bag. Now, let me explain to you. It says Esau is Edom, is Russia. In Romans chapter 9 and in Malachi 1, God says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated from the womb. People have said, how could God hate the little tiny embryo of Esau in the womb and yet love Jacob? Because of the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age. When Satan rebelled, one-third of God's children followed Satan, and Esau was in the crowd. He didn't care about his destiny. He could have been somebody great in heaven, but he followed the devil. But Jacob, and this is why Jacob's genealogy was chosen, through whom the elect would come, through whom Jesus would come. Jacob stayed true to God, and all the elect of Jacob fought against the devil. So that's why God hated Esau, is because what he did then. It's not the little embryo in the womb. Now, to keep all of that in mind, now we get a picture of the blessing. Everybody understand now? Yes. Now, you say, well, what was the blessing of Jacob that he got the fat of the land? We've already learned that Esau is Russia, and they're in Siberia, and they're always coming to us for a begging bag. How can Jacob be United States of America? Jacob's name was changed to Israel, but he had 12 sons. They're the 12 patriarchs, the heads of the 12 tribes. But they had a split. They split in two. Two of the tribes called themselves the House of Judah. They stopped calling themselves Jacob, the House of Judah. They are now in part in the land of Israel, Benjamin and Judah. But some of Judah is Queen Elizabeth on the throne. Jeremiah brought the last remaining daughter of the tribe of Judah to marry to keep the seed line pure. But what about Jacob? The 10 tribes, the House of Israel, Jacob is Israel, were captured by Sennacherib. This is in the Bible. They migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, settled Europe, settled Canada, and settled these United States of America. And here we are, the superpower of superpowers, the richest nation ever, the fat of the land. Do you see the picture now? Okay, so see, this is going to help you understand that the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 39, 38 and 39, that the prince of Meshach, that's Russia, is going to come against the house of Jacob. So that means Esau, Russia, is coming against Jacob, United States of America. In a few minutes, I'll tell you why.
We have heard a rumor from the Lord.
Now, there's been a rumor since I was born, and it says the Russians are coming. You'll still hear that rumor, whether you're not. There's been a rumor for the last 2 years about Russia. It's been an untrue rumor about any collusion between our beloved President Donald Trump. That's just a lie. But the rumor is to keep Russia in the pot here, in the mix. This is not by chance, because Russia is picking. Russia is waiting its time. Why is Russia doing this? Because Russia sold America, Alaska, for a pittance. And they want to call it a land lease and say the land lease is up. We want Alaska back. If you've been keeping up with the news, you know that Vladimir Putin has been going back and reclaiming territories that he had lost when Russia became no longer the deadly wound, no longer the superpower of superpowers, because they threw God out of the country. He went back and reclaimed Georgia and another place recently in the news, and he wants to get Alaska back. And we just really took them on that. But we bought Alaska from them. So they're trying to rebuild the old Russian Empire. And so they're causing all this confusion. So while we, Jacob, America, are asleep and dealing with fake media, they can come in and take Alaska. Now, this is going to be called in the Bible, Revelation and Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Battle of Hamagog. And it happens just before Jesus returns. So the Antichrist is going to be here. And that will be when Russia comes against America to reclaim Alaska. Do you see how close we are to the end?
Yes. And an ambassador is sent among the heathen to let us rise up against her in battle.
In other words, you can see that Russia's picking at us now.
Verse 2, behold, I hate.
And once again, that's the Battle of Hamagog. Go home and read Ezekiel 38 and 39. The Prince of Meshach is Russia, is coming against Jacob. Russia, Rush Edom, Prince of Meshach, Russia, coming against Jacob, the 10 tribes of Israel, United States of America. Why? To reclaim Alaska.
Be small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised.
When they go to the United Nations, Russia is not accepted as one of the great leaders of the nations.
The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee.
And of course, he has great pride. You can tell Russia has great pride. They were so proud of themselves, they closed all of the churches and turned them into granaries. Isaiah 14. Lucifer, who is the serpent, the dragon, the devil, the beast, and also now for whom Esau works and Russia works, said, I will be God. I'm so proud of myself. I will put my throne on the sides of the north. I will lift myself up above the stars of God. But pride comes before a fall. Russia has fallen. Russia is no longer a superpower of superpowers.
Dwellest in the cleft of the rock. Habitation is pride. That says in the habitation of thy heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?
Now, this is a prophecy of something already happened. You see how smart God is? We got smart water, we got smartphones, we got a smart God. In 472, he writes down what's going to happen. You know what it was? It's already happened. Have you heard of the Berlin Wall? The wall, okay. On one side of the wall are all these people captured by communism. Communism is horrible. Don't you ever listen to the abominations say that we need to have equal things. They don't give you anything. They strip everything bare of you. On one side are these people captured, starving to death. On the other side of the wall were the free people. And every time the ones in captivity tried to cross over the wall, the Russians would shoot them down like dogs. And the ones they didn't shoot, they would take them to Siberia and give them a lifetime of working out there in the cold and frozen temperature. There were 10 men on the free side that for 10 years, every single morning, they met there on the free side of the wall and prayed for the wall to come down. Kind of reminds us that for 8 years, we have prayed here every Sunday and every Wednesday for God to remove the socialists from the White House and bring us in someone who would say, Jesus, we got it answered. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, along came God, sent a President Ronald Reagan, and I can hear him now. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. And the wall came tumbling down. And so it did, yes.
Amen. Number 4, thou hast been exalt thyself as the eagle.
You tried to be the superpower like the eagle. You know the eagle is a symbol of America, right? But do you know why? Because the Overcomer song, Deuteronomy 32, we're going to sing about God is our great eagle, and he carries us on his wings. An eagle is a symbol of God. That's why the eagle is our bird in America. So he said, Rush by the Volga, Edom, you tried to be as big as Jacob, but the blessing went to Jacob. You sold your birthright. You didn't care about your heritage, Esau. All of you have a destiny, a heritage. I hope you're not throwing it away by being more concerned about your daily stuff.
Though you set your nest among the stars.
The stars, children of God, minus the flesh.
Thus will I bring thee down, thus saith the Lord. 5, if these came to be with robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Will they not have stolen until they have enough? If the grape growers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes?
Obadiah now talks about a grape gathering law in Deuteronomy 24. God says that when you gather the grapes and you get your hands full and some of it drop, just leave that which is dropped so the strangers and the widows and the orphans can come and pick it up. But he says here, you are such scoundrels that you don't leave your citizens even enough to eat. You take everything. I mean, you don't even leave anything for the widow or for the orphan. I mean, when communism gets through you, there's nothing left. Talk about sharing. There is no sharing. It all goes to the upper class.
How were the things of Esau searched out?
How were the things of Esau searched out? Well, you just heard how they're searched out. I just told you all that. I looked it up. Did you understand all of that? So go home and read Genesis 25, 26, 27, Ezekiel 38 and 39, and you'll get a lot of this. There's more, but that's enough to start.
How are his hidden things shut up?
In other words, who knows that? What you just heard, very few Christians know. And yet we're right here. The Battle of Haman Gog is going to happen. Most everyone under the sound of my voice would experience it.
All the men of that confederacy have brought thee even to the border.
What he's saying, Russia, you are colluding with other nations. And you know, in the news, you can see him going over. He's going over with Iran. That's a bad one. That's Mount Seir. That's the Kenites. He's getting them all to buddy-buddy with him, and they're colluding with him. Why is that? To come against the Battle of Haman-Gog. When he gets enough of them and gets America weakened and so distracted by rumors and gossip about Donald Trump and ISIS and things, because Russia's even supporting ISIS, then they can come in and hit and take back Alaska. At least that's what he thinks.
The men that were at peace with thee have deceived you and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy blood have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. 8. Shall I not in that day even destroy the wise men?
The wise men. What he's saying is, Marxism, communism, came from Esau, and it pushes gods out. And he said, look what you've done. You've infiltrated Yale and Harvard with your Marxism, and you're teaching our children who go to these colleges a gospel that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, Marxism. And God says, I think I'll bring them down too. Wisdom comes from God's word. If you don't know God's word, you're not smart.
Out of Edom, an understanding of the Mount of Esau.
That would be Mount Seir, that's Iran, that's the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain, who will join Russia. Ezekiel 38 and 39 tells us that Russia will join them as they come against Jacob, as they come against the United States of America.
9. And the mighty men of Taman shall be dismayed.
So the mighty man coming with Russia, rush, to claim Alaska, something's going to happen as they cross over the border into Alaska. Ezekiel 38 and 39 says the Lord Jesus is going to appear in the sky with his army, and they're going to rain down hailstones on this Russian army, and it's going to be a slaughter. I mean hailstones, not bullets, not explosions, not spears, not bombs, hailstones, and wipe them out. Now I want to say this, there are Christians in Russia, and they pay a great price for that. They have to sneak out at midnight and go and chip the ice in that's all frozen over so they can walk into that cold ice and be baptized. Not a hair of their head shall be harmed. But all of those coming against us right there on that strip, it's going to be lined up a line of slaughter.
Amen. And defend with everyone the Mount of Esau.
Mount Seir, Iran.
May be cut off by slaughter. 10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob.
Because of what you did against Jacob. Jacob is God's elect. God says in Psalm 105, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. In Matthew said it were better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck, and you would drown in the depths of the sea, than to hurt one of my little ones. I like that, because I'm a little one.
Shame shall cover thee, and violence shall be cut off forever.
Cut off forever, just like Satan, who's going to walk into the lake of fire and be no more, so will Esau and all those who fight the cause of the devil.
11. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive, those forces by foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots into Jerusalem.
Actually, what he's talking about, it goes back a little bit in prophecy, that he's talking about the Berlin Wall, how that they shot them down, the people trying to escape, but the ones that left would capture them and send them to a life sentence of a serving hard labor in Siberia, where they die.
Even thou wast as one of them. 12, but thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother. And the day they came, he came a stranger.
Now, God is going to say a few paragraphs here, and I'm going to sum it up. God is going to say, one thing I don't like is when somebody's down that you go and kick them. And so obviously something's going to happen to the United States of America, because our military is not going to fight the Hamagai battle. Jesus and the army in heaven is going to fight it with hailstones. The American military will not fight that battle, yet we will win. Jesus will fight it for us. Obviously, there's some distraction or something where America is distracted, and so that's when the Russia will move in on that. God does not like that. He does not like for anyone to take advantage of someone when they're down. I'll tell you, even my enemy, when they're down, I'll give them a fair chance to let them know that I'm there. In other words, make sure you don't do that with anybody. People take advantage of a person because they're handicapped, because they're blind, because they're crippled, or because of something else, or something else. Make sure if you, God will get on your case about that. And you're about to hear God say so in quite a few words.
Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither should thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress.
Mm-hmm.
13, thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people.
You should not have crossed over into Alaska. That's my people. That's the fat of the land. I promised it to Joseph and I promised it to Jacob.
In the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity.
So see, there is an affliction to our nation. There's some kind of a situation where we do not seem alert. But see, with all the fake news and twisting things about Russia, everybody's more concerned about the lies going on about Russia than what Russia's really up to. Maybe we should send President Trump a copy of this, huh?
Yes. Nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity.
God's still fussing at them. This is why I'm doing this. This is why. Because you didn't care about your heritage in the first straight age, and you still don't care about your heritage.
14, neither should thou have stood in the crossroads to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither should thou have delivered up those of his that did remain.
He's talking about the Berlin Wall. That still bothers God.
In the day of distress. 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen.
There it is. The day of the Lord, Revelation, is the seventh trump when Jesus returns. Ezekiel 38 and 39 tells us that at the battle of Hamagog, and that'll be the hailstone battle when Edom comes against Jacob, Esau in Russia comes against America, that's going to trigger the seventh trump to sound. So the battle of Hamagog and the battle of Armageddon happened almost. I've taught Armageddon in Revelation. I don't have time to do that right now. But that is a sign that Jesus is about to come. And all of you will be here. I mean, somebody might die, but most of us, we're certainly the generation of fig tree. This is coming up soon. Because don't forget, the Antichrist will be here, but his time has been shortened for the elect's sake. Mark 13.
As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy Lord shall return upon thine own head.
God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. In other words, you didn't care for anyone. You only thought of yourself. And you were greedy. And you hurt other people. And you were number one. Well, now it's going to come back on you. I want to caution all of you. Everything you give out is going to come back to you. It'll come back. Don't let it knock you down and kill you. Let it wrap you around and bless you.
Amen. For if you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Nay, they shall drink, and they shall be as though they had not been. 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance.
That's it. Mount Zion, the seventh trump. after the Battle of Haman, Gog, and Armageddon, Jesus returns, lands his feet on Mount Zion, and he's the deliverer. He's not going to be beaten anymore or slapped anymore. He's coming back of his government. There shall be no end. He's King of Kings, and he's Lord of Lords, and he is our deliverer. Amen. He's your deliverer.
Amen. And there shall be holiness in the house of Jacob.
Holiness up to the horse's bridle. Holy ground. Holy people. You know what we're going to be called for the eternity? The holy ones.
Amen.
That's their possession. 18, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame.
Okay, God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. So the house of Jacob shall be a house of fire. So God, that's God's house, a house of fire, house of God. Who are these flames of Yah? Remember the Shulamite girl last week? She was the flame of Yah, flame of Yah. That's you. That's us living in the house of fire. Fire is God, and we're living in it, and we're a flame, and we just beep, 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 beep. The flame is just giving light and giving love wherever we go. In other words, no wonder God is called the Father of Lights. Let your light shine, a flame of Yahweh. Woo!
And the house of Esau, stubble.
House of Esau, stubble. We're all going to stand our works before the fire machine. And you're not saved by works, but after you're saved, your works are important. If they pass the test, you will be gold and silver. If not, the works will be wood, hay, stubble, but you'll be saved, so is by fire. But Esau, who is Edom, who is serving Satan, shall, like Satan, walk into the lake of fire, be blotted out, and he's about to say, and be no more.
And they shall kindle at them, and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau.
There it is.
For the Lord hath spoken it. 19, and they of the south shall possess the mountain of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistines. And they shall possess the fields of Ephraim.
That would be Great Britain. What he's about to say in this, the whole earth is going to be rejuvenated, heaven on earth, at the end of the millennium. The oceans will be closed up, and everybody who's saved is getting their allotment, and he's naming some of that. And all that the enemy had, the Kenites, it comes back to us. If a thief be found, he shall restore sevenfold. Everybody has their allotment, so he's kind of listing that all over planet earth.
And the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. 20, in the captivity of this host of the children of Israel, shall possess that of the Kenites.
That should be spelled K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Usually the C is correct, but this time it's talking about Satan's children, Cain's children. We're going to take the land back that they took. Remember, the Kenites have taken a lot of land from the land of Israel. They are living on some of that right now, and so it's going to be given back to God's children.
Even unto the upper part, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sephard, shall possess the cities of the south. And the Savior shall come up to Mount Zion.
The Savior there doesn't mean like Jesus our Savior. It's talking about the elect. When Jesus come, the very elect will gather around Jesus there in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, to do that 1,000 years teaching of the word. But even in the future heaven on earth, the elect will still be around Jesus, for the elect are the only ones who do not inherit property. The elect inherit God. That's what I want.
To judge the mountain Esau, and the healing shall be the Lord's.
And the healing shall be the Lord's. Russia, Russia, Russia. Yeah. The Lord, like reading tomorrow's newspaper. Well, normally I do mystery moment, but for time's sake, I'm going to pass that. But I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place, the man of God, my twin friend. The produce place is in Suntree, Florida. Scott Merson, how are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. You enjoy that about Russia?
Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
It's coming up. David left his stuff in the cart, as he could put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Lord, guard me from the thoughts that I think, which want me to believe that I can somehow earn your blessings and your love through religious doctrines. Guard my heart from my mind, O Lord, in this time of falling back to move forward. Through reflection, help me feel your word deep, deep in my faith. Through the respect, the spiritual improvement, the new relationship, and the spiritual correction, help me develop a triumphant mindset for the entire season ahead, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Fantastic. Not by works lest any man should boast. Thank you very much, Scott Mercy. I'm going to pray for the sick, but first of all, I want to pray for anyone who's lost. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, please pray this with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Please wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me. To increase your kingdom.
To increase your kingdom.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
If you pray that in a minute, if you want to call me, feel free to do so and leave your message on my phone. My announcer will give you my telephone number at the end of this program. Now, for those of you who are sick, Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Right now, the healing water is flowing through the air. Reach out your hand and grab it and place it and let that water pour on the part of you that hurts. Jesus bore your pains and he carried your sicknesses and he relieves you from all distress. He is able to make new body parts, to move things where they need to be, to touch hearts and recreate body parts. God is able. God is able. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. Believe. Do something you've never done before. At least take a move of faith, even if it's not perfect, if it's just 8% healed. Keep going. Keep trying. Try again later on in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We praise you for your healing deliverance. If you want to call and tell me you were healed, feel free to do that also. Each Sunday, 5 p.m. here at my school, Word in Prayer. Wednesday, 6 p.m. Thursday, Scott meets me here from 12 noon to 2 p.m. We pray for the sick. Tell others about the radio program, Trumpet of Truth, WMIEFM.com, on demand. All kind of books of the Bible on there. And I love all of you. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying we love you, we bless you, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you. May he watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now remember, everything that you get is not yours to keep. You're to give it away. If you give it away, God will give you more. So remember, everybody, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth.
91.5 WMIE proudly sponsors the Avenue Vieira Arts and Craft Show, April 21st and 22nd. This outdoor arts and craft show will feature all media of art, as well as boutique clothing, unique jewelry, natural skincare, gourmet dips and sauces, candles, children's books, pet care items, and much, much more. The Avenue Vieira Art and Craft Show is April 21st and 22nd from 10 to 5 and is a free event. More information can be found on artfestival.com. That's artfestival.com. And make sure you stop by the 91.5 WMIE booth to say hello and grab some free WMIE merchandise.
Thank you. Joy is my strength. When everything has changed, you stay the same.
Stay. you burn out. 'Cause somewhere somebody needs a reason to believe. The chance to change it. All of my fears and trials, Lord, all of my doubts, all of my shouts, all of my fears and trials, Lord, rest in you. All that I hold in love, oh Lord, all of my songs, all of my longings, all that I hold.
Home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
my effort into you. My heart is bare. I've been looking everywhere for truth.
Take me back to the time when I was maybe 8 or 9, and I believed. When Jesus walked on waters blue, and if he helped me, I could too, if I believed. Before rationale, analysis, and systematic thinking robbed me of a sweet simplicity. When wonders and when mysteries were far less often silly dreams and childhood fantasies. Help me believe, 'cause I don't want to miss any miracles. Maybe I'd see much better by closing my eyes. And that spoke for you was good enough. When manna fell from heaven's high, just because you told the sky to open up. crushes underneath the weight of all that is unseen. Help me believe, 'cause I don't want to miss any miracles. Maybe I'd see much better by closing my eyes, and I would shed this grown-up skin I'm in to touch an angel's wing, and I would be free, free, free. Yeah. Help me upon my reservations. I'm the first to cave, I'm the first to bleed. If I abandon all that seeks to make my faith informed and chic, could you, would you show
WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
Let his glory reside.